So our reading tonight is Mark chapter 1, and we're going to be reading the whole chapter. So Mark chapter 1, and I'm reading from the ESV, first verse of Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. So tonight, we're looking at Mark chapter 1. Quite a long chapter to read earlier, but we're actually only looking at a small part of this chapter. We're looking at the last five verses of the chapter, verses 40 to 45. And it's here that we're introduced to a leper, verse 40. Someone who suffered from a serious skin disease, and as a result, had to live a life of complete isolation. Now, in our time of coronavirus, we might get a better idea of what that would have been like, what it was like for someone who suffered this, because we have a tiny taste now of what they would have experienced. Maybe you're currently in self-isolation this evening. Maybe it's been days. Maybe you feel cut off, no contact. Maybe you're alone. I heard a lady say on the news recently that one of the hardest parts of this isolation thing we have to go through, she doesn't get to see her grandkids. That's the thing that's getting to her most. And we as a church at the moment, we're not getting to meet together. We're feeling it. Maybe we're appreciating fellowship for the first time because it's been taken away in that sense. Even with our luxury of technology, social media, video calls, it's still just not quite the same as face to face. But what I hope comes through tonight, through this message, is that yes, we may be apart from one another, but we can still encounter Jesus, even in our loneliness at home. Even you tonight can encounter the presence of Jesus by his Spirit. And hopefully, as we look at this passage tonight, we will see, like this leper did, how life-changing even just one encounter with Jesus can be. Now, as we go through this passage, we're going to look at it in three parts. First, we're going to look at self-isolation, the life of the leper. Then we're going to look, number two, at crossing boundaries, the moment the leper meets Jesus. And then finally, we're going to look at number three, what is the result of this encounter? And what can it show us today? So that's where we're going. But firstly, self-isolation. Here we're going to focus on the leper. Now, the word for leprosy here in Scripture is used to cover a range of skin diseases. But the bottom line is that the person would have been separated from society as a result. The priest would need to pronounce them unclean. Imagine how that felt. And it was so serious that if the priest wasn't sure that the person definitely had leprosy, they would have to go into quarantine for 7 days and then come back to the priest to be checked again. Now we're getting a bit of an idea what that's like, isolation for 7 days. It was a horrible experience. The leprous person even needed to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," just so everyone was sure and knew they had it. Imagine that today, walking around shouting, "Coronavirus," making sure people stay away from you. The lepers had to live alone. They had to live outside the camp of the people. If the disease wasn't bad enough to suffer, the social implications were horrible. Can you put yourself in their shoes? Can you put yourself in the shoes of this leper we read in our chapter? They were truly outcasts from society in every sense. So that's just a brief glimpse into the self-isolated world of someone with leprosy. Now, number two, crossing the boundaries. This leper boldly approaches Jesus, verse 40. Verse 40, and the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." He takes a huge step. He breaks the boundaries that he was forbidden to break. He's like a guy today leaving his house, despite government coronavirus restrictions. And not just that, going to the Queen in Buckingham Palace, straight for her. Shocking. Well, this leper approaches Jesus of all people, the one we've already seen in Mark, someone who is the Son of God. Verse 1 of chapter 1. And this leper approaches Jesus. The leper's bold, and it's because he's sure of Jesus' ability. Jesus can heal. Maybe he's heard about what we've just read in the rest of Mark 1. Jesus is like no other. He has authority over everything. The demons flee. Sickness disappears. He teaches with authority. This leper was sure that even this monster of leprosy could be removed by Jesus. So Jesus has the authority and the power, yes. But is he loving? That's maybe the question. The big question, it seems, is would Jesus want to heal this leper? The leper says, if you will, you can make me clean. Verse 41. Would Jesus even want to be near this leper, let alone heal him? Would Jesus just shun him away? Would he ask the leper to wash his hands for 20 seconds before approaching? Would he get some antibacterial spray and just spray it around the leper just in case? Was Jesus an authority figure that only asserted authority without compassion? I think we can think of a few people like that in our lives or in our world today. Well, no. Jesus is moved with pity, verse 41. Now, our first thought is to protect ourselves. Now, in our age, in our time we're in right now, that's not necessarily a bad thing to protect ourselves. But we go into survival mode. We grab toilet rolls and whatever else we can at the expense of others. Jesus, though, is approached by someone who has an unclean disease, and his first reaction is to be moved with pity for them. He's willing to help them. But not just that, he actually follows through. Because it's one thing to be moved with pity. Many people are moved with pity and do nothing. But Jesus stretches out his hand and touches the leper. Let's read it again. And a leper came to him, verse 40, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he, that's Jesus, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be clean. Now this is huge. Jesus was probably the first person to touch this man in years. This one touch spoke so many words. Jesus reaches over every boundary possible. You can imagine the reaction of others maybe at the time. Jesus, what are you doing? He's unclean. This touch of Jesus changes this man's life forever. One touch, he's made clean. His whole life is transformed in one moment. Immediately, his leprosy left him. So there we have it. We go from the self-isolation of the leper to the boundaries he crossed to reach Jesus, to meet Jesus, and then the transformation that happens because of that encounter. That leper is never the same again. So on to point three. What's the result of all this? Well, news spreads. The leper is so overwhelmed by what happened. He ignores Jesus' stern warning not to tell anyone, the command not to tell anyone, and he goes out and tells everyone. And actually, they end up trading places. Jesus, because of this, has to stay in desolate places away from everyone because every place he enters, it's the publicity is too much. And the leper's in the middle of society, speaking to everyone. You can see they've traded places. But why did Jesus command him to say nothing? Jesus sternly charged him, verse 43. Why? Surely, publicity would be a good thing for Jesus in his ministry. It seems strange at first. Why is Jesus so firm that the leper should say nothing? Well, it's because of the danger of misunderstanding why Jesus came. The danger of people focusing on the wrong good news. Something I'm going to call tonight goodish news. Ish. Good, but not quite good. I'm making up words. So we're actually going to split our last point into two. Point three, what's the result of all this? Well, news spreads, as we've seen. The leper's gone and told everyone. But there are two types of news that spread. There's a difference between the good news people want to hear and the good news people need. So let's begin with the good news people want to hear, that good-ish news that I'm talking about. Well, we see here in our chapter why Jesus really came. What was his primary purpose? We read in verse 38 of our chapter. I'm going to read it. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. So Jesus came first and foremost to preach. And what did he preach? Verse 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So Jesus came to tell us, repent and believe in the gospel. Now the gospel means good news. So what exactly is this good news? That's the question. Because there were many misunderstandings at the time. Hence why Jesus told this leper not to go and tell anyone, because it could add to the confusion. Is the good news that Jesus simply is the great healer? Maybe that's what this leper was saying. It was all about the healing. Jesus healed me. And you can imagine why. It's life-changing. Of course he's going to share that message. But was that it? Was that why Jesus came? Simply to be our great healer? Was that it? Is that all we're supposed to take from this passage today, tonight? Wow, Jesus heals disease. So at a time like this, coronavirus, pandemic possibly, if we come to him, he can heal us. In fact, he can heal the whole outbreak and get us up and running again, get us back to normal. When Jesus was healing earlier in our chapter, we read verse 33, the whole city was gathered together at the door. So surely, if the whole of London comes to Jesus, they could all be healed potentially. The disease could be removed. Well, yes, it's true. Jesus can heal coronavirus. But is that the main point of Jesus coming to earth? To be a great healer? To help us get back to normal? Or maybe is the good news that Jesus would be this great earthly king? Because that's what the disciples at the time thought. Throughout Mark, we start to see that. They thought Jesus would set up this kingdom on earth. They thought that he would be the one to drive out the Romans that occupied Israel and that he would make them into this powerful, mighty nation. Is that the good news of Jesus? What about us today? What's the good news of Jesus for us? Because we too love our own good news. We have good news on our minds that we want to see fulfilled. The good news we want, here's the point. The good news we want is always based on our greatest felt need at the time. This is good news from our perspective. For the leper, his greatest felt need was to be healed. And too right, you can imagine why. For the disciples, they wanted their nation restored. You can see why, again, occupied by the Romans. And for us, surely right now, the good news we're looking for must be coronavirus related. The good news we want to hear right now is we found a cure. Or the virus has died out and gone. Life is back to normal. These are good things to want, definitely. Coronavirus is horrible. Leprosy is horrible. But back to our normal lives. Is that the good news we need? Think about normal life for a minute. Before coronavirus. Yes, it was nice. And there's many things we appreciate now, maybe that we didn't appreciate before. I'm not sure we've ever appreciated toilet paper in the way we do now. That soft, three-ply roll, gold dust. But seriously, think of life even without coronavirus. All the crime, the war, anxiety, depression, broken hearts, addictions that destroy us, poverty, you name it. Is the good news simply to go back to that? Is that the best news we could imagine? Is that good news good enough? Well, Jesus knows our deepest need more than we do. We ask for stones compared to the bread that he gives and offers. Jesus brings better news. His good news is bigger. So let's move from our goodish news in our minds, the good news we want, to the good news we need. Mark begins this book, his gospel, with this. Verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So what is this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, the clue is in the name Christ. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one promised throughout the scriptures, throughout the Bible. He didn't just come to set up an earthly kingdom and drive out the nations. That wasn't his purpose. He didn't come just to be a great healer, although he healed. His good news was so good that it was completely unexpected by us. He goes to a cross and suffers and dies. Now, how is that good news, you might ask? We see the disciples reacting to this later on in Mark, in chapter 8, which I'm going to read. Verse 31 and 32 of Mark chapter 8. I read this. And he, that's Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. This sounded so crazy to the disciples that Peter starts to rebuke Jesus. Think about it for a minute. How could it be good news that God comes to earth as a man and ends up hanging on a cross, spat at, mocked, brutally killed in that way? Have you ever thought it strange that Christians at Easter celebrate the death of their Savior? What horrible death to celebrate. What an anti-climax it seems that Jesus, the man who spoke like no other, who healed like no other, who loved like no other, he ends up hanging on the cross because of a conspiracy against him. How is that good news? And more importantly, what does that have to do with us today? How does a man dying on a cross 2,000 years ago help us right now in our situation, particularly coronavirus again? What's the relation? Well, to understand how this is the good news, we need to first understand the bad news properly first. We need to understand what our greatest problem is. Now, we have a video on our YouTube channel called What's Our Greatest Problem? That explains it. So please give that a watch. But I'll briefly try and explain it now. What is our greatest problem? Why is it that we need good news? Well, we're back to our leper in our chapter today to help us see it. Because leprosy is a visual representation in the Bible of sin and the damage that it does. Leprosy is painting a picture for us. Firstly, it shows us separation from other people. Think about the leper, isolated from the people around him. And we feel that physically now more than ever before in our situation. But surely even before coronavirus, we must have felt some form of separation from others at times in our lives. Adam and Eve, beginning of the Bible, Genesis, the minute sin enters, they blame each other. There's suddenly enmity between them, hostility. And we today continue in that way, blaming each other, letting each other down. We betray people, we hurt people, we put ourselves first, we lie, we step on others. Even within our own families, there's all these divisions being put up. That's sin. Maybe you've started to see it clearer in our supermarkets recently. And there is an even more serious separation that leprosy symbolizes. Not just the fact that we're separated from each other, but we're separated from God because of our sin. The leper couldn't just not be around people. He couldn't enter the temple to worship God. This shows us the reality of sin. Sin separates us from God. Our sin is primarily, first and foremost, against God. David, in the Old Testament, who committed adultery and murder, he says, "Against you and you only have I sinned." He sees it. We don't love God. We don't want to follow him. But God is holy. Therefore, we're separated. We are the unclean, separated from the clean. Sin is why our world is the way it is. So sin is our greatest problem. And Jesus knows it. In the next chapter, from what we've just read, the very next episode after this leper incident, we see Jesus highlight what our root problem is. A man is brought paralyzed to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? Does he heal him immediately like the leper? No. He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." You'd think, "No, Jesus, this man's paralyzed. Heal him of his paralysis." Well, yes, he eventually does that. He does heal him. But he deals with sin first. It's like today, you might hear Christians talking about sin and death and hell. And you're thinking, "What are you talking about? We're facing coronavirus. We need cures for that. Why are you telling me about sin? Why are you telling me about death? Why are you telling me about hell? That's not our problem right now." Well, yes, we do need help with coronavirus. It's true. But there's a root beneath it. That's what I hope you start to see tonight. a root beneath the issue of coronavirus, a root in which a whole load of other things flow out of that, the root of sin. Coronavirus is just one strand that comes out of the root of sin. Death itself bursts out of sin. Sin is actually the cause of death. The Bible tells us that. So do you see that sin is your greatest problem? Because it's so important that you see it. Otherwise, you will never truly understand why Jesus came. Now, I had to go through this myself. I wasn't born a Christian. One day a few years ago, I thought, right, I want to seek God. I want to call out to God and see if he's there. And something amazing happened from that moment. Out of nowhere, I suddenly had this weight of guilt and this realization that I was a sinner. I never saw sin as a problem before, but now suddenly it was the only problem. And when I realized that that was my biggest problem, I tried to turn to religion. Islam, meditation, New Age stuff, positive thinking, you name it, I was trying to turn to it. But nothing solved this problem of sin. It was horrible. The guilt wouldn't leave me. No matter how much I tried to fix it in my own strength, the sin was too great. My sin was too great to clear. But that was until I found Jesus. It was like the penny dropped. When I heard the gospel explained to me, the good news explained to me, I finally realized that's why he died on the cross. That's why he came. He is the solution to my problem. When you see that sin is your greatest problem, then you start to see how amazing it is what Jesus achieved on the cross. This is the good news. Jesus tells the leper after he heals him in our chapter today, verse 44, Jesus says, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." This verse takes us back to the Old Testament. Jesus is pointing us back to the Old Testament here. The book of Leviticus, where God, through Moses, commanded sacrifices that would be offered from the leper when he is declared clean by the priest. So yes, at this point, the leper is clean of his disease. Jesus has healed him. But Jesus is pointing him back to what happened in Leviticus. When a leper is declared clean, what had to happen as a result? And this brings the attention to sin. This brings our attention to sin. And there is one beautiful picture we see in Leviticus when we go back to the leper situation. In Leviticus 14, on the very day that a leper is declared clean by a priest, which in our passage is the very day the leper meets Jesus, what is commanded by God on such a day? Well, there are two birds to be brought. One is killed, one is set free. And it symbolizes something. And it's brought to light here in our passage. It's shining to us. I wonder if you can see the link in Mark. There's two people, Jesus and the leper. One is clean, the other's unclean. One is free, the other's isolated. One is in the center of society, the whole of the city gathered to Jesus in our chapter. The other is the opposite, complete outcast. People can't get away from the leper quick enough. Two very different people, but as they meet, everything changes. And it pictures to us today the greatest trade ever. The leper comes to Jesus and Jesus touches him. There's contact. One touch from Jesus changed everything. The leper goes free into the public healed, and Jesus is the one left out in the desolate places. Do you see the imagery? Do you see where their roads head after they meet? One of the birds in that ritual in Leviticus 14 is killed, picturing a sacrifice for sin, atonement for sin. And Jesus goes to die on a cross, pinned there, isolated there. The sin that separates us from each other and from God, as we've looked at already, Jesus takes on himself. He's separated from man, rejected by his own people, and he is rejected by his own Father in heaven. As he hangs on the cross, he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? The bird that dies in that ritual pictures the sacrifice of Christ. And the bird set free in that ritual is like the leper released from his isolation and shame, released from his sin. Even in our coronavirus self-isolation situation we find ourselves in, you can know the freedom of your soul being set free. Jesus is treated worse than the leper ever was. He is treated as the worst of sinners, so that we may be treated as righteous. He is treated as guilty, so that we may be treated as forgiven. Jesus dies in our place, so that we can live forever beyond death. He faces the hell that we deserve, that all of us deserve for our sin, so that we can be promised heaven. So he says to us, look at this leper, look at this story. Do you want to trade places with me too? I will take your sin, your shame, your guilt, your suffering, the consequences of your sin, the death that you deserve. Come to me as you are and give them to me. And in return, I will give you everything I have, Jesus says. You will be set free, fully cleansed, forgiven. You become a child of God. You will live forever. Death will no longer hang over you. And you will be fully accepted by my Father in heaven. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is what the world needs right now more than ever. Would you rather be saved from coronavirus or death itself? Death is the real fear that lies behind coronavirus. We're not necessarily scared of coronavirus itself, but the possible death that can follow it. Well, Jesus offers us the cure for death. He rises from the dead and offers that same new life to us, so that we no longer need to fear death. Imagine facing the reality of death with absolute peace, knowing where you're going and knowing that it's a million times better than anything you've tasted in this life, knowing that Jesus can carry you safely through death into eternal life. That is good news. So to us, we are all in the position of the leper in our chapter, but do we know it? The leper knew he was unclean. Verse 40, and the leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. The leper knows he's unclean. The leper knows he needs this from Jesus. But do we know we are? Do we see that we're isolated from God? Just one touch from Jesus can change everything for us. But we need to come to him to receive it. The leper had to come to Jesus. The invitation from Jesus is to come. The good news must be acted upon. This leper saw it. He implored Jesus. He kneeled. Do you see the humility there? Are you humble enough to approach Jesus like that? Are you humble enough to get on your knees? Do you see your need? Jesus calls us to come. The good news, he says in our chapter, is verse 15. Repent and believe in the gospel. We need to repent. We need to turn away from our sin, our lives that we've lived against God, and we need to come to Jesus and believe. That is the gospel. It's simple. No matter who you are, if you come to Jesus, here you have a promise of what response you're going to get. Jesus is moved with pity. He has compassion. He stretches out his hands. He promises to never turn away anyone who comes to him. If you saw how big a deal it was for that leper to approach Jesus in that day, you would never doubt how Jesus would welcome you if only you would come. Come as you are in all your shame, uncleanness, guilt, regret. Just come. It's not as complicated as you think. Even if you're isolated at home right now, you can know the experience of your soul being set free. In your own room, you can cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, I see I'm a sinner. I want to be forgiven. I want to be clean. I want to be saved. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus promises never to turn away anyone who comes to him. One meeting with Jesus, one touch with Jesus to your soul can change everything. And then, like this leper, we can go and tell the world. Not with Jesus telling us to stop, but Jesus saying, go. The time was not right for the leper to go out and speak at that time. That's why Jesus says, be quiet to him, say nothing. But now is the time. The call of Jesus now is to go out into the whole world and preach this good news. Sadly, like the leper, we still seem to do the opposite as his people. Jesus told the leper to be quiet, but he does the opposite and tells everyone. Jesus tells us now to go and tell everyone, yet we do the opposite and be quiet. Let's pray for boldness to share the only good news that our dying world needs, that we need. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that we have good news. Oh Lord, at a time like this, we know we need it. We feel we need it. The news is filled with bad news every day. The reality of life, the reality of sin, the reality of life lived in a world that has been changed forever by sin. But Lord, we thank you that it's not forever in that sense. There will be a new heavens, a new earth. We thank you that you promise life beyond death. We thank you that death is not the end. We thank you that for those who come to you, Jesus, that you carry them safely through. We pray that as your people, we would know that comfort. And we pray that for those tuned in tonight who don't know you, may they cry out to you. May they come to you like this leper. And may you receive them and transform them forever. And help us share this message as your people, the good news, the only good news that people need to hear. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.